to talk about the relationship between mental illness and homelessness. My name is Andrea McNevin. I'm a programmer at CKDU. We have a few other guests around the table with us. There's Felix.
So my name is Felix Kahneman. I'm also a programmer, and sitting right next to me is Jean Hughes.
Hi, I'm Jean Hughes from Dalhousie University.
And there's Patty, who is just getting ready.
Yeah.
Hi, Patty. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How about yourself?
So, Jean, let's maybe start off with asking you, you're involved in the mental health profession. You're at a university and you're also in a nursing mm-hmm. profession. What is the connection between mental health and homelessness? There seems to be a strong connection, and why is it that a lot of mental health consumers are at a high risk of becoming homeless?
Absolutely, that's a very good question. We do know that there is a very large connection between homelessness and having a mental illness. It works kind of both ways. Those people who have a mental illness, if they're having trouble working, continuing to work, etc., they stand a good chance of eventually perhaps losing their job, and without a job may eventually be kicked out of their apartment, so they lose their home as well. At the same time, we also know that those who are homeless have a very high risk of having a mental illness. Among youth, we know that at least pretty well about 50% of homeless youth have a mental illness, and it's even a higher rate among people who are older. So the older adults would have a mental illness. And I have to say that in addition to having a mental illness, the longer you're on the street, the greater the chance that you have lots of health problems. So not just mental illness, but you probably have a lot of chronic other health problems, like respiratory problems, heart problems, circulatory problems. So there are many, many health concerns that you have when you're on the homeless and are on the street, and the longer you're on the street, the more problems you have. I have to say as well, one of our studies, we found that not only, this was with youth, not only were the youth on the street at a high risk of having a mental illness, that is about 50% had a mental illness, but a very high percentage also, almost 50%, had learning problems. So can you imagine yourself on the street, if you're young, you have a mental illness and you have a learning problem, and society is expecting you to figure out how to get what to eat, what to wear, how to keep clean, how to survive, and you have a learning problem and you have a mental illness too. It's pretty tough. It's pretty tough to survive. And the older you get, then you add on a whole lot of other problems. And one of the problems, a very basic one, is mobility problems. We find a lot of older people who are on the street have trouble just mobilizing. And so if they are able to get to any resources, they're expected to get their own way, and they might have trouble walking, they might have trouble climbing stairs, etc. And on top of that, have a mental illness and probably have a learning problem too. We're asking a lot.
Do you see certain patterns, or is every case individual, or is there something that's common to a lot of people who live on the streets with mental illness?
That's a really good question as well. One of the things I think it's important to say that while we have a number of people, a great number of people who are homeless in Canada today, they're not all the same. Just like people who are housed aren't all the same. It's quite a diverse group. At the same time, we do know that people who are homeless gradually face a number of similar challenges. And so gradually you may find them experiencing similar problems. So if you're living in not good quarters, like sleeping in doorways and that kind of thing, you're not properly warmed, in the winter, you're much more susceptible, forget mental illness, you're really susceptible to just plain physical problems, the how do you get around, how do you mobilize, etc. It's really hard. It's really hard.
I might just interject here briefly to introduce two guests that just joined us around the table. And we have Judy Dent, who is a Judy Deal, sorry, who is I'm sorry, I can't read. And so she is a contributor with Street Feet, which is an organization that puts out a publication weekly, monthly?
Monthly.
And she's been a contributor since the very beginning.
Oh, yes.
And she's brought a friend with her. And what is your friend's name?
Patricia. My name's Patricia Heighton.
And I have mental
illness, such as ADHD, depression, anxiety, through a lot of external issues, not internal. And I'm a board member of the Metro Nonprofit Health League.
And we also have Kyle.
Yeah, my name is Kyle Vandermeer. I'm actually a homeless youth that rose above that, and now I'm starting to make my own personal changes here in society and across the HRF.
That's wonderful. I might put this question out to Jeannie, and then you can all join in a conversation about your experience of the issues as well. What do you see as being done to combat these issues? Like what is working, and then maybe to also discuss what is not working?
Well, I think hearing from everybody is really what's important. One of the things that I think we're just beginning to hopefully take note of is that we have some services that are not integrated. People go from resource to service, etc., and they fall through the cracks. They're not integrated. They're all independent or individually siloed. And so because you can get into one resource for some assistance, you may not qualify for the next one. And you're constantly working to try and find resources that meet your needs. And you spend your whole day just trying to get what you need to survive. Contrary to what I think the rest of the population thinks, people who are homeless are not just lazy and why don't they just get off their butt and go off and do some work. Actually, it's very difficult. It's very hard work being homeless and surviving, and particularly in Canada with our weather and the winter. There are some organizations and agencies who are really trying hard to get services that are appropriate for all the different kinds of people who are homeless. And as I said earlier, just because you're homeless doesn't mean you're all the same and you have all the same needs. We have lots of different kinds of needs. So we need a variety of different kinds of services. We need housing, we need employment, we need clothing places, we need places to wash
and resources. What we're
just one of the things I always say, I teach at the university, one of the first things I ask my students is, when was the last time you need to go to the bathroom and you walked into anywhere and asked if you could use the washroom? And they all say, well, that's very easy, I can do that. I said, really? But I want you to go out into our community and see how many places you can go in to use the washroom and not have to ask for a key, not have to be scrutinized or looked up and down to see if you're dressed appropriately, do you look clean enough, etc. Do we think you can go into the bathroom, etc. It's not easy in our community, and that's just simple, just going to the bathroom. But think about how many times you have to go to the bathroom during the day and how many times you want to need to wash, and where do you wash your clothes, where you get the money to wash your clothes, and if you were to get a job, who would wake you up in the morning, who would make sure you, where do you get the food to eat before you go to work or to take to work, how do you do the work, where could you report, what kinds of jobs could you do if you don't have a place to wash yourself, you know, a shower or some place to wash your clothes, etc. Very basic kinds of stuff. that you have to think about. So it's not easy. So we have some resources in our community, but they're generally, they're trying hard to work together, but they're so busy that they don't, sometimes don't even know about each other. That's what's remarkable. I'm working with a group now where we're all trying to bring together resources for homeless youth in particular who have a mental illness. And it's interesting how we all met around the table and not everybody knew about everybody. So they don't even know about each other. So how do you refer somebody to go down the street, try, here's a resource that might be useful to you? They don't even know about each other. They know about some, but not about all. So that's one of the challenges. And I think in Atlantic Canada, if I might, we tend to think very often, or in Canada, we tend to think if there's a homeless population, they must all be in Toronto or in Vancouver, you know, in the big city. No, they're not. They're here too. And they're not just in the city, they're in the rural areas as well, except it's really hard to be homeless in the rural area because there probably isn't a shelter, probably isn't a, you know, a food bank, you know, there might not be a place to get a meal or clothing. So that's a real challenge. And very often in the rural communities, people couch surf, so they stay with friends, but you can only stay with a friend for just so long, you can't stay there forever. So they just rotate all the time. Think about rotating all the time, what that does to you, your strain and your stress. That's not easy. Maybe I'll just stop there because I see lots of other people have some things to say.
You were speaking about stability.
Yeah.
I'm in an organization with the Mission Nonprofit Housing, and I'm very lucky to have been put forth there. I was one that came from the community out in Spratfield. I was out there for a little while, and I happened to get in with certain the wrong people and such. And when I did this, I had never experienced mental abuse, physical abuse, to the point of where I almost died. I was somewhat suspect in arson, which I never would ever done in my entire life. I've gone through such the Children's Aid Society, where my son was brutally raped in foster care. Just Sunday on the Cornwallis Church Premier African Heritage Month, I had just shook Frank Beasley's hand, stating about how my son was sexually assaulted and how we were closer than anyone may know. And I was asking for justice to this day. My son was 11 at the time, and now he's 23. My daughter was 2 at the time when they were sexually assaulted in the foster care system. And through all of those issues, plus my own mental issues of ADHD and depression, anxiety, taking medication that made me see things and have rashes all over me, and having an extreme sense of sexual desire, which I did not need. Or want, but yet I needed to have my attention span longer and have my not be so impulsive to make myself, cause myself more problems and such. And so I was very hyper and having impulsiveness and so forth. Depression and anxiety came along after the abuse issues that were coming along. I was going to a lot of organizations, but apparently there's a lot of catch-22s within these issues. If you don't report your abuser, which is very much dangerous for the mothers and the fathers, the children. It's not the person that they're going to hurt. They're going to hurt everyone else around you because they know that's what kills you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And once they kill you inside with this mental abuse and so forth, and I'm an addict myself and I go to Narcotics Anonymous very regularly, so I don't, if I miss any meetings, I'm getting high. I go from being on a board to getting a gram, which I don't need. I'm a representative for my building at Metro, on Maynard Street, and I really will speak for them and such there. And I get in a lot of arguments there, but I speak my mind, and I have to speak what's forth, because that's the whole part of the NA message, is for us to be, and like the Service Canada had provided the building with Mel Bootlair from the Parker Street Food Bank, and Sid, and there's a whole tremendous amount of people with the donations that came in for our building in the first place. I'm part of the cooking class with Jesse Jollymore. I'm part of the choir. It brought me out of my shell, because I was very much thinking that I could never get anything done. I used to take care of patients before I was even on welfare, matter of fact. And if you're not a criminal by the time you get on welfare, you'll be definitely learned how to become a criminal by the time you get off it, because that's what teaches you. And what we need today is young people, and regarding the old. I hear so much about young people with mental illnesses. I'm 42 years old, and I don't hear nothing for my age mm-hmm. with mental illnesses, mm-hmm. which really ticks me right off, mm-hmm. because I'm just as important as any young person. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate they thought that my children had ADHD, and apparently they didn't. One had hyperness, one had impulsiveness, one had attention issues, and that's what brought the second apprehension along. And then they still never mentioned anything about my daughter's sexual assault, mm-hmm. which really disturbs me to this day. And I'm still fighting. I don't have any access to my children, which really disturbs me too, because I've never done anything wrong. Having never been accused of number one suspect in arson with Jeff Clark, never did I ever do anything of that nature. Being put into the police station and having gone through 4.5 hours of interrogation while having mental illnesses was never regarded at all. And I thought that was very hard. Then accountant, going down to Teepee, which is Metro Turning Point, mm-hmm. and being part of a so-called community issue, which is not allowing any women at all down there. I've caused my own issues. I'm not perfect. But the point I'm trying to make is that seeing all of the issues, what the men was going through. See, I wanted to know in order for me to figure out the psychological mind of what I was going through, I had to see it from a man's point of view before I could understand it from a woman's point of view. And that's what I went down for. I made a lot of friends. I caused myself a little bit of grief, but they knew what my intentions were. So I never wanted to hurt no one, and I had to find out who I was in order to find out so I wouldn't hurt no one else, because I didn't want to be the next woman that was killing the next man because of the fact that I didn't get the help that I needed. I'm very lucky to be involved with Elizabeth Fry. Nikki Farmer helps me. She's my outreach worker. Mm-hmm. I have an advocate called Kath Larson with the Winter Out the Door, Winter Storm here. Thing down yep, the minute. Yep. I'm sorry, I'm not pronouncing everything properly. Mm-hmm. So I'm very lucky to have all of these, you know, your service to my advantage, and I want to extend that to anyone else that comes my way.
Wow.
But the problem is this: I'm also part of the Sharing and Caring program, and this is what ticks me right off. They think it's the Waddling Club. It's not. It's the cliques that gets out there. They keep within their family, their little clique family, and all their little friends of their little cliquey families a part of the United Way, and we're part of the mental issues of the Sharing and Caring up in Bluefield School. And I have got kicked out of there because I had mentioned certain things that were wrong doings. And when I said if I was to say anything more of the wrongdoings, I would be labeled, which would hurt me in my everyday life, of my day-to-day care, of my best interests. Mm. And that endangered me.
Wow.
So if you're not allowed to speak up in any way, shape, or form, regardless if you have mental illnesses or not. And then they play those against you on top of it all, like your sanity is questioned. Because if I may just say, the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results. Well, if I don't speak out and do for the mankind of being noble and say this is wrong and knowing what's right and wrong growing up and speaking out, okay, why should I be penalized and get kicked out because I'm speaking up?
So lots of challenges around, and I'm just wondering what some of the other people are thinking, because you just described tons.
Nailed it.
Tons. Just wondering about what other people, what your experiences have been.
I don't know, I can give a shot at it. I have a couple buddies, one buddy's a mental health advocate down through Langhouse.
Yeah.
And he's also, he organized something called Stand Up for Mental Health, and it's a bunch of comedians that get together and do that. Yeah, and so, like, there's progress being made, right, for that, but, like with anything, there's always flaws in every program.
Yeah.
And they always, like, when you said the definition of insanity, that's what they're actually doing. They're doing the same thing over and over, hoping to get different results, but they're not. And then they use someone else's, like, you know, disability against them, saying that they're the reason why it didn't work out. It's nothing to do with our programming.
Mm.
And that goes along with anything nowadays. You get the same with this for homeless youth that may have mental issues, but most crime, it's unrecorded, you know what I mean? They're not diagnosed, or they're misdiagnosed, mm-hmm. or they just rush through the system, pump back out, and they got the same result again. They're back on the street in that vicious circle, and everybody knows what that circle's like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find a lot of programming up here, after you get to certain age limitations, there's a cap, and then it's like, boom, you're on your own, you know what I mean? We
mm-hmm.
tried to hold your hand, you didn't pick yourself up, so here you go, you can fall down for the rest of your life,
yeah,
you know?
A huge challenge, that move between the youth and the adult services, that's a little tough one.
Yeah. But like I've seen, like, with, like, little coalitions, like Stand Up For That, that
yep.
people actually taking the initiative, they're saying, you know what, these programs aren't working. we've got to relate to these situations, so let's, why don't we band together and step up and do something, you know, and this way we're coming at it from different angles, because we've also, who basically it's the philosophy of victims to victors, right?
Yeah.
They're not playing that victim card no more. They're standing up and they're saying, no, we have issues, but we're not afraid, we're not going to hide behind them. We're going to try to help ourselves and as many people as possible, because your program's not paving the way that we want it to. So, you know, so I think there's a lot of other initiatives out there. So I think maybe more we focus on what we can do as
mm-hmm.
individuals and as a group than what people are trying to tell us what we can do.
Because
no one likes to be told what they can do, and immediately you get defensive on that anyways. And you get withdrawn, because how is someone going to sit there and tell you how to run your life when they just learn it from a textbook?
Je vais juste, on a deux appels sur le téléphone qui sont en français. Je ne sais pas si quelqu'un ici parle français. Moi, je le parle. Alors, je vais juste, c'est bon. On va juste prendre une minute pour entendre les deux appels qui sont en français pour le moment. Voulez-vous, êtes-vous ici?
Those callers seem to have hung up.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they've hung up. That's okay. We can go back to English and the rest of the panel. Thank you.
I wanted to say maybe Judy's program, the program that you're a part of, is a story, the story of the Street Freed article, if you wanted to talk about that just for a second and let people know what it is that you do.
Well, I'd like to say one thing. It's been quite a while now. It's been on the street. But we find it hard to get issues out, like every month, because we need more advertising. And we need the government to help us, but the government does not help us. And we just need more help, because I think we need a paper like this to help people understand what's going on.
Can you just tell us a little bit about, it's a wonderful newspaper, and you give a lot of articles. Can you, maybe just for other people who are listening, they might not know anything about the paper. Could you just say a little bit about the kinds of things that people write about?
Well, it's issues and topics that are not usually printed in the normal newspapers.
Okay.
And it gives people a voice in society
mm-hmm.
that they're not usually given. Anywhere else in a newspaper?
Yeah. Can you just even give an example? I see you've got a copy right there, or even just saying an example of one of the articles.
Well, Mel Bootler's on the front, and
yeah.
and he helps out a lot of people.
We're talking to the rest of Canada. People don't all know who Mel Bootler is.
I'm sorry. I can't even see it. I got none of my glasses. I didn't even wear my glasses. I'm half blind now.
Oh.
I'm a little shy. Would you
okay.
like to read?
Patricia, Mel Bootler, the executive director of the Parker Street Food and Furniture Bank, is arguably any poverty community volunteer who received the most official recognitions in our region. This year alone, he received the Order of Canada and the Order of Nova Scotia. We salute Mel and his associates for timelessly making positive changes in the lives of people who otherwise would live in sheer misery. Thank you, Mel, for the 50 years of fighting poverty.
Wow. I know that everyone around the table needs to have a chance, and we are getting a little bit close with time because we have another guest panelist coming up after we're done here. So I'm going to pass the mic right now over to Patty, who has prepared something that she would like to read.
There are too many members of the general public, professional public, the governmental offices, which casually describe individuals of the homeless population of various communities using misjudgments of terms, using carelessly spoken and demeaning terms such as bum, charity case, crazy, crackhead, criminal, degenerate, transient, as well as many other uncomplimentary terms. Does anyone realize that the word charity is used in the Bible to refer of the qualities and the meaning of love? When one is described as a charity case, then he and or she must be one who is in need of love, understanding, and compassion. Has any one or more members of the general public been discriminated against by any employer, HRSDC, income assistance due to a medical surgery and or procedure, Is this not considered grounds of medical discrimination and wrongful dismissal, as this has happened before? Has any one or more members of the general public ever been told that you do not qualify for an apprenticeship program and or work co-op program, as you are not between the ages of 18 to 30 years old, and yet you have been trained and had paid the tuition costs and everything in two professional fields, and yet the doors are all closed? The more you try to open up the doors into the areas of employment you've been trained for, the more the door remains shut, and nobody is offering to assist you in helping you remove the barrier. Has anyone and or more members of the general public ever been told by an employment and training counselor that because you are not married, do not have a common law partner, and or do not have any children, that you do not need to earn over $20,000 per year? This is another type of discrimination that is given by the government to all the people of our nation. And, I mean, the homeless population does not just include persons who are addicted to drugs, drug users, criminals, fugitives, and or alcohol abusers. The homeless population within individual communities also includes men, women, teenager, and or children which have escaped from a home where there was verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, criminal activity by one and or both of the parental role models, unemployment, and or more other issues that have been left unmentioned. The most important terms never expressed to describe the daily life of any homeless person is self-reliant, bravery, coping skills, endurance, resilience, strong, perseverance, persistence, inner strength, motivated, problem solver, multitasker, human, person, independent, neighbor, survivor, friend, and dignity. Those terms are never used. And we the people, voters, electors, constituents that are of the homeless, lower classes, middle classes, and upper classes of our nation, need to regain fully effective definitions of dignity, laws, strength, recognition, and representation of democracy, equality, equal opportunities, equal rights, human rights, educational rights, and employment rights. Nobody should be excluded from any of these, no matter what race or religion or gender or age you are. Everybody should be included within these factors of employability.
Patty, thank you very much.
Just to solve it.
You're welcome. That was very moving. It was I would love to have you continue on and spread that knowledge. It's really powerful stuff. Is there one point that you'd like to finish off with?
Well, I want everybody to reach out with your helpful hand. I want you to raise your voice to the elected government representatives. I want you to open up your heart and your mind to the enduring conditions of the daily life experienced by the homeless population. And let us bring positive action into the lives of many and benefit the lives of the homeless populations through our communities, provinces, territories, and nations. Let the positive change of a more caring and involved nation begin.
Wow.